Good morning, everyone. You are listening to Pride 2016 on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Hukkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. My name is Madeline Taylor, and what you've been listening to for the last half hour is a mix of music by LGBTQ artists put together by the illustrious Jonathan Q here at CITR. In the next hour, I'm going to have more music for you, again, from LGBTQ artists. We're also going to be talking about biking, which you might think, how does that relate to Pride? But you will find out if you tune in about half an hour. I have an interview for you with Cynthia from the Bike Kitchen here at UBC. So the song you just heard was Minimal Violence, Body as Language. Up right now, we've got Uncanny Valley by Fake Tears, and I'll be right back in a few minutes.
Decreases when a lifelike appearance is approached, but not attained.
Listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hukkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
is Mr. Postman.
To CITR. My name is Paula, and this is Pride Facts. I have words for you, words that have been reclaimed by the LGBTQ plus community. Reclaiming language is taking words that have been used to degrade a community and turning the meaning around. Taking away the negative connotation of the words can be liberating. Let's take a closer look at the word queer and its history. Originally, it was used in 16th century Scotland to mean peculiar or eccentric. Contemporary synonyms of the word are odd, unusual, strange. The word used as a term towards the LGBTQ plus community in the late 19th century was reclaimed in the 1990s by a New York-based group of activists named Queer Nation. Their aim was to take the word out of violators' mouth and give it a positive connotation by self-identifying as queer. The famous slogan, "We're here, we're queer, get used to it," was coined by the group. The word queer is still considered offensive by some members of the LGBTQ community. Many feel uncomfortable using a word that caused them so much harm. Why use it then? Advocates for the usage of the word queer use it as an adequate umbrella term for LGBTQ+. It is considered inclusive of all sexual orientations and non-binary, unlike the terms lesbian or gay. Queer your vocabulary out by checking out the following web pages: positivespace.ubc.ca/terminology, www.glad.org/reference/transgender, www.autostraddle.com. Check out the series More Than Words. They discuss queer words. Happy Pride, everyone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Gay Games. And to the thousands of athletes, coaches, family, and spectators from around the world. Since 1982, the Gay Games have given lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender athletes and supporters around the world a chance to come together to compete, celebrate, and inspire others. It's been remarkable to see the Games thrive over the years.
The Gay Games is the world's largest sporting and cultural event specifically for LGBTQ+ athletes, artists, and musicians. In 1990, Vancouver held the third Gay Games, where approximately 7,300 athletes took part and over 1,500 cultural participants attended.
Welcome again. This is Pride 2016 programming. My name is Madeline Taylor, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. Stay with us until 3 p.m. today. We're going to have 100% queer radio. The last half hour has been 100% queer music. This next hour is going to be my picks for some of my favorite LGBTQ plus artists. Right now I have a track for you from Ostra. This is an older album, a few years old. The song's called Painful Like. I'll be back in a few more minutes to talk about bikes. Stay tuned.
You could come here anytime. Drive past the flying line.
eyes were fresh at 21. Bruised but still afloat. Our heads have hit the pavement many times before. He's choked his face to soothe him, wondering that there's more.
Like a cartoon.
That was Fool by Perfume Genius. One of my faves in the last couple years. My name is Madeline Taylor, and you're listening to Pride 2016 on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded ancestral territories of the Hukkamenum-speaking Musqueam people. And yeah, we're celebrating Pride today from 8:30 in the morning until 3 p.m. all day. Almost all day. But there are also tons of Pride events happening this week in Vancouver that you may or may not know about. If you are engaged with the queer community here or not, you will have heard about the gigantic Davie Street party that happens. CITR is going to be tabling at that party, so you can come hang out and visit us. That is happening on Friday night. Friday afternoon to Friday night. So that's the Davie Street party. But there are also some alternative parties that happen before the big Pride Parade on Sunday, July 31st. So one thing you might not know about is the Trans, Two-Spirit, Genderqueer, and Intersex March, which is happening this week as well. So let me just get some info for you guys about this. It's very cool. It's meant to be more of an open space to people who may not feel welcome at the Pride Parade, as it is traditionally created by and often for more of the G in the LGBTQ alphabet soup equation. So yeah, that's going to be happening on Friday, July 30th. Sorry, my dates are all messed up here. Let's backtrack. On Friday, July 29th at 5:30 p.m., starting at Clark Park, which is on East 14th Avenue off of Commercial Drive. And you can find the details on Facebook if you just search the Trans, Two-Spirit, Genderqueer, and Intersex March. So again, that is on Friday at 5:30 p.m. You can wear what you want. They want you to feel free to be fabulous, wear what makes you feel great. Allies are enthusiastically invited and welcome. So even if you do not identify as a member of the Trans, Two-Spirit, Genderqueer, or Intersex community, you can go out and support. I'm going to pop down, say hello, maybe take a couple pictures, and just be there to show my support personally. Another thing that you can do over the weekend that is not just the big, gigantic Pride Parade on Sunday, which you can definitely be a part of if you want to be, but if you feel more comfortable, there is the Dyke March. It's the 13th annual Dyke March and Festival is happening on Saturday, July 30th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. So again, that's 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday, July 30th. It is at McSpadden Park, which is again on Victoria Drive at East 5th Avenue. You can find out information about that on Facebook. If you look up Dyke March and Vancouver in the same sentence, you'll find it. Again, allies are enthusiastically welcomed. There will be stage performances. They will have ASL interpretation, and an accessibility audit is forthcoming of the march. They are fantastic. They are also being marshaled this year by Black Lives Matter, the Vancouver chapter of Black Lives Matter, who have very publicly boycotted the Vancouver Pride Parade that's happening this coming Sunday. So if you agree with them, if you're curious to learn more, if you just want to go and show your support at some alternative Pride events, check out the Trans, Two-Spirit, Genderqueer, Intersex March that's happening on Friday, July 29th at 5:30 p.m. on East 14th Avenue, Clark Park, or you can head to the Dyke March, which is on Saturday, July 30th at 11 a.m. on Victoria Drive at McSpadden Park. Now, if you want to dance, which I know I personally do, you should go to Denim Fest, which is, again, a great alternative Pride event. It's happening at the Redgate Art Society at 10 p.m. on Saturday, July 30th. If you don't know about Redgate, there's a very great article about them in the West Ender right now that you should all read. There's a great family photo. It's very cute. Yeah. Check it out. I will be there to dance. You should come dance with me. denim vest. It's a good time every year. All right, so the last half hour has been tunes that I think are very good by LGBTQ artists. Up next, I have a conversation that I had with one of the most important members of UBC's Bike Kitchen, Cynthia. We sat down and chatted on their Women and Queer Bike Night. So this is my conversation with her. We talk about bikes, we talk about why those nights are so important, and yeah, enjoy. We'll be back in a few minutes to talk more about Pride and to play more music. How's it going?
How's it going?
Good. Yeah.
Hey.
I forgot my bike.
Oh.
Bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
bicycle, bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike.
Yeah, we were just hanging out in the kind of staff area in the kitchen. And then we have all our staff bikes hanging out here.
People's they are literally hanging.
They are literally hanging on hooks. Yeah. So people's different projects. I have a new bike that I'm working on there. It's a Nishiki road bike. Yeah, someone donated it and it was in really great condition. And I've been slowly replacing all of the parts that need to be replaced on it.
Cool. Yeah. If you're familiar with UBC, you know that the campus is so huge that there is a pretty incredible bike culture that goes along with getting people from class to class on time. In the old Student Union building, at the very front, after you come out of the UBC bus loop, if you head down the stairs instead of up the stairs, you will enter the bike kitchen, which is where I met and chatted with Cynthia.
We have a recycling station here, so we recycle bikes here. We get a lot of bikes donated, and so on our Wednesday volunteer days, a bunch of volunteers come in and help us strip bikes. And we'll salvage parts that are reusable, and then we recycle a ton of bikes as well, so they stay out of the landfills.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. The afternoon I was in the bike kitchen was Women and Queer Bike Night. It happens on the second Wednesday of the month from 6 to 9 p.m., and it's a pretty cool thing. It's led by either women or LGBTQ-identified mechanics and volunteers to encourage diversity in the cycling community and to make sure that folks who identify as women or LGBTQ people have a safe space to learn about their bikes and come and get things fixed. Oh, and it's free. Cynthia and I sat down to chat about what she loves so much about cycling culture and how she got involved at the Bike Kitchen.
We are in the Bike Kitchen right now, and I am the communications coordinator for the AMS Bike Co-op. And so we work with the Bike Kitchen, and we do a lot of programming out of the Bike Kitchen. The Bike Kitchen is a community bike shop, and part of what that means is creating a space where people can come and learn how to fix up their bikes and engage with cycling. And so one of the things we strive to do is to reduce barriers to cycling and learning about bike maintenance and mechanics. And so Women and Queer Night started because cycling culture and a lot of bike shops are kind of dominated by cishet white men. And we wanted to kind of encourage people who are women or in part of the queer community to also feel safe in the bike shop space and have a space where they feel comfortable and can be around other women and queer folk who want to come and just learn how to tune up their bike and get some basic bike mechanic skills in a comfortable and kind of relaxed environment.
Did this night exist before you came, or were you involved in getting it started?
Yeah, so this night has been going on for a few years out of the Bike Kitchen. We did last year or this year, sometime recently, also start an LGBTQ night as well. So we have both a Women and Queer Night, which is the second Wednesday of the month, and an LGBTQ night, which is the fourth Wednesday of the month. And that started with when I worked here.
Mm-hmm. And why did you feel the need to create those two separate spaces?
Yeah, so we noticed at Women and Queer Night that it was really awesome that a lot of women were coming out, but there were definitely some queer folks coming and some non-binary folks, but we really wanted to encourage more people from the LGBTQ community to come out. And so we were trying to think about ways of further reducing barriers for folks to come into the shop and feel comfortable in the space. Not everyone in the LGBTQ plus community identifies with the word queer or uses that as an umbrella term. Some folks, yeah, strongly identify as lesbian or gay or transgender and don't necessarily use the word queer. So it was kind of like about reaching out to those folks and making sure they felt comfortable in the space, as well.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Do you mind talking about why that was specifically important to you once you got here?
I've kind of been working in the nonprofit world for the last couple years, and I don't know. I think examining our programs and kind of looking at how people were feeling in the space. We did some surveys, and we were trying to make our space as accessible as possible. So it was really about, increasing accessibility to the space and making sure everyone felt comfortable and like they had a night or a time where they could come in and feel comfortable in the space.
How do you think bike culture and activist culture intersect? Because that's a mm-hmm. theme that I've noticed in a few different, cycling-focused spaces around Vancouver.
Yeah, especially in community bike shops in Vancouver, like OCB and Kickstand and the AMS Bike Co-op and the Bike Kitchen. We all kind of work together.
OCB just for people listening who might not.
Yeah, it's our community bikes. It's kind of a similar setup to the Bike Kitchen, where OCB is the bike shop space, and then Pedal is the nonprofit society that helped us start OCB and does some of the programming. So we work with all of the community bike shops around town. And I think one of the amazing things about bicycles, that they're eco-friendly, they are a more accessible mode of transportation, especially for those who do face barriers to transportation. So if you can't afford to have a car, if you can't even afford a bus pass, you can often get like a bike for like $50. And if you go to a community bike shop and can work on it yourself for free or for very inexpensively, and can look through bins and get used parts for free or by donation, it really makes transportation more accessible for a lot of people. And so we have a bunch of different programs that are aiming to increase accessibility to autonomous mobility, which is kind of like the lingo.
Yeah.
Helping people have access to transportation, which is really important for so many reasons. So we do have the BC Libre program as well right now, where we go to, we set up clinics in Abbotsford and in Delta, and we're basically different locations where there are a lot of migrant farm workers who are here on the temporary foreign worker program. A lot of migrant workers come to Canada and they are living on the farms where they work, and they don't have any way of going into city centers where they can, bank and buy groceries. And so we go and give people bikes. We will take their bikes that are in disrepair and fix them up and give their bikes tune-ups so that folks have a way of getting around in the Fraser Valley.
So cool. It's serious.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you like best about bikes?
How appropriate am I supposed to be? No.
Yeah, go for it.
I love riding my bike. It's fun. You get an adrenaline rush. Going down like steep hills is a blast. I love biking without a bra on, just because of like the freedom and the breeze and how amazing that feels. I don't know. I think it's empowering. Like, I feel empowered when I ride my bike. You're getting exercise. Oftentimes you can get places faster than by bus or by car. It's inexpensive. I love learning how to fix things myself. I'm very much still learning how to fix things on my bike, and I really enjoy the kind of empowerment that comes from learning about bike maintenance and being able to build and fix my own bikes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about tandem bikes?
I think they're cool and adorable, and I've never been on one, but I'd like to. Maybe one day I'll go on a cute date and get to ride a tandem bike with someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever witnessed anyone working on a tandem bike, or is that even a thing?
I haven't personally. We have some sweet cargo bikes.
What's a cargo bike?
So it's a bike that has like a cargo box on it. Okay. So we have one that's called a Bach Fiat that we take around to our bicycling resource centers that we do on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has basically a wheel in the front and then a big box for storage. And then you have your handlebars in the seat and in the back wheel. And so it's a way of transporting things on your bike, like big, larger items. Like we can fit a table in there, a huge Tupperware container, a bike stand, some signs, and just quickly, yeah, be able to bike that across campus.
So cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to pick one tool to fix bikes with forever, what would it be? And is that possible?
Ooh, it'd probably either be a 10 mil wrench or a set of Allen keys.
Mm-hmm.
The 10 mil wrench is pretty good wrench for bikes, as well as like a good set of Allen keys.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Necessary.
A lot of bike mechanics carry on a little set of Allen keys with them.
Like on a key ring.
It's like a little multi-tool, almost like a what are those things called?
Swiss Army knife?
There we go. Yeah. Language and stuff.
Why do you think there's so much hostility towards cyclists in Vancouver, especially like in local media sometimes?
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about cycling and the benefits of cycling, how it benefits the environment, how it decreases the number of cars on the road. The better bike infrastructure you have, the more people bike and the less cars you have on the road. So it helps with congestion. As I mentioned before, is it an accessible form of transportation that gives people the ability to move around rather inexpensively? Of course, there are also those people on like $3,000 bikes, and I love like racing past those people in my $200 bike. I think there's a lot of misunderstanding though about like I think spending money on bike infrastructure is very much worth it. For the reasons that I mentioned, that it gets cars off the road, it reduces congestion, it makes cities more livable and enjoyable, I think, to inhabit. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any fond memories of, like, your first bikes as a child?
I did like biking when I was a kid. I lived on kind of on top of a hill, so we would sometimes ride our bikes to the very top of the hill and then ride down as fast as we could.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
any heroic bailing stories?
No, I was not a very accident prone kid. I didn't do so many risky things that I was hurting myself, but.
And then as an adult rider either?
The only time I've crashed my bike was when it was rainy and I was biking on Granville Island and across the train tracks, and a lot of people bail on those train tracks on Granville Island.
Yeah. That sounds pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Any like tips that you want to give to people who are maybe thinking about getting into biking as a commuter or just want to, you know, need an extra little reason to get on it?
Go to a community bike shop if you have questions, if you want to learn about bike maintenance, if you want to winterize your bike or want to get the gear so that you can bike in the rain. And anyone at any of the community bike shops around town can help you out with that. And, yeah, show you how to put on fenders or... Yeah, they often will have used parts you can throw on your bike if you're trying to do things more inexpensively. But yeah, there's people with a wealth of knowledge around bicycles that are like so willing to share it with everyone. And definitely all the community bike shops around Vancouver are putting a lot of effort into trying to make their spaces as accessible as possible and easy to access for lots of different folks. So.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us one more time when the Women and Queer Bike Night is and when the LGBTQ plus Bike Night is?
Totally. Women and Queer Night is the second Wednesday of the month every month, and LGBTQ Night is the fourth Wednesday of the month every month.
And where's the Bike Kitchen located at UBC?
Right now the Bike Kitchen is located in the basement of the Student Union building on the north side of the building. We are moving into kind of the courtyard just out front. So in August, we will be moving to that space, but it'll just be just outside of our current location.
Cool. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay.
Great.
New
parts and new accessories. So we have helmets, locks, lights, brake pads, panniers, racks, fenders, lots of different new parts for people to buy.
Awesome.
And this part of the shop is where we have all of our used parts. So yeah, if people are coming in and don't necessarily want to spend the money to get new parts, we have bins and bins and bins of used parts. We have cranksets, caliper brakes, what else do we have? Lights, reflectors, V-brakes, cantilever brakes, derailleurs, shifters, shoes. There are racks, there are bars, there are bar ends, there are
bicycle,
handlebars.
Bicycle, bicycle.
I want to ride my
That was my interview with Cynthia Williams of the AMS Bike Co-op and Bike Kitchen, talking about women and queer bike nights and LGBTQ bike nights. So if you have any bike-related questions, you should definitely head on down. You can get more information about the Bike Co-op and the Bike Kitchen if you look them up on Facebook. So just look up AMS Bicycle Co-op or search Bike Kitchen. It's catchier and you'll find it. Great. Okay, so up next, I have a song for you guys by one of my favorite queers. This is Saint Vincent with the song Bicycle.
Thank you.
That was Ray Spoon with Armor off of their most recent album by the same title, Armor. You should look it up. Ray Spoon is great. They recently came through Vancouver, actually, to a sold-out crowd. Yeah, one of my favorite Canadian artists. Although I'm not as fond of the new record as I was of their last record, but gotta support. So, this is the end of my hour with you guys. Thanks for hanging out. It's been nice. I'm a little rusty on air. Haven't been on air for a while, so it's nice to get back in this comfortable swivel chair. Thanks again to Cynthia Williams and the AMS Bike Co-op for having me the other day and for putting on the LGBTQ2i+ night as well as the Women in Queer night. You should check both of those events out. And actually, tomorrow night on July 27th is the LGBTQ2i night at the Bike Kitchen. So you should go hang, go get your bike fixed, or go learn about bikes. It'll set you up nicely for the weekend of Pride, where you should not try to drive. It is going to be insane downtown and all over Vancouver. Bikes are really the only practical way to get around. So this is me wishing you a very happy Pride 2016, wherever you end up showing your pride as an ally or a member of a queer community. And I want to leave you all with a bit of a banger to get you in the party spirit. So this is Big Freedia with Y'all Get Back Now. You may know her from the intro to Beyoncé's song Formation. So this is her in 2010 off of the album Big Freedia Hits Volume 1. Also consider this your content warning if you are offended by too much fabulousness coming at you through your speakers. You might want to change stations now. Take care, everyone.
Hold up. Y'all gotta stop all this foolishness, cause Uptown trying to shake.
Y'all get back now. Back it back now. Shake for the money. Bounce to the floor. Toot it up. Hot, girl, let's go. Shake for the money. Bounce to the floor. Toot it up. Hot, girl, let's go.
Get back.
Rebecca make the beat go. Uh-oh. Y'all get back
Uh-oh.
Now.
Uh-oh.
I'm talking about legislative discrimination. Many countries criminalize same-sex activity through legislation. The terminology and the corresponding laws ranges from indecency, buggery, and immorality to against nature. Penalties can be as severe as life imprisonment. So-called propaganda and morality laws that target freedom of expression related to sexual orientation apply to 17 states. The most striking fact might be that in 10 countries around the world, homosexuality carries the death penalty. In contrast, 76 countries and 85 entities have anti-discriminatory laws that protect people of any sexual orientation. All this information is derived from a paper called State-Sponsored Homophobia 2016, a world survey of sexual orientation laws, criminalization, protection, and recognition. Get educated. Happy Pride, everyone.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
The CM, the CIA, think I'm